All right, we're back again. It's a morning time for us. Could be evening across the world, but we just like to share these morning revelations when we get them. And we wanted to talk about more on what we shared about efforting and waiting and, how long do I have to wait kind of thing. And
just kind of expound on it a little bit. Maybe give some more examples and analogies the Lord's been given to us on this subject, because it's part of the journey when we're down here on earth in our earth suits. We're here learning and actually feeling and experiencing time and space, and within that time and space there's the waiting, there's the patience, there's the incubation process, the unfolding. And
but it's not what we think it is sometimes.
We
have a definition in religion of what it is, but it's different.
And with the Lord, with human thinking, we focus on one thing, and we want that one thing to happen. And with the Lord, He's so multi-layered. He's bringing out so many different. It's like the petal. We would just think a flower and say, okay, that flower needs to have this one petal. And with the Lord, He surrounds that bloom with several petals to bring it into its full bloom. And when we're in each season or each stage of our life, he's unfolding more than we realize and more than we can see. And that's why we're just looking through this little peephole and saying, it's not happening, why is this taking so long? And there's development, for one, happening. But I hear you on the pressure, though, of I've got bills coming up, and then you go through the mental wars of, did I make the wrong decision? And
I'm feeling frustrated.
But there's a bigger picture, as being unfolded. But we want to tap into, okay, so that's great, but how do I envision? What am I supposed to do with this wait time? What does it mean?
Yeah. So, again, we know that there's many definitions of, wait on the Lord, and we hear all these things.
Yeah, delay is not denial.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that, we're really discovering something here. A lot of that is just religious jargon. Mm-hmm. A lot of that is because people are delaying themselves.
Yes, and they don't
by
even realize
the energy
it.
That they're keeping themselves in. And here's what that means.
Beliefs.
What that means is, at any given time throughout my day, throughout my life, all of us are balls of energy called spirit. And that spirit is what God gave us in this thing called life, to have life, right? We know that. This is just common sense. But that spirit is pure energy, okay? And when that energy comes through and filters through our soul, filters through our skin, through our mind, our thoughts, our emotions, then whatever we're dwelling on, whatever we're thinking on, is going to emit the energy through our soul. See, our spirit carries one energy that's always believing, that's always connected. It's always in oneness with love and that energy that is just pure faith. Pure belief, right? And then we have our soul that's been conditioned through life. And depending on how we were conditioned, depending on how we grew up, depending on what our belief system is, oftentimes it doesn't match what is always constant in our spirit. Remember, spirit and Holy Spirit, spirit and God are always connected, always on, turned on, always green light, right? So there's a working out, there's a maturing, there's a renewing of the mind and all of that. But it's not like religion teaches. See, remember on the last message we gave, you're already there. What we meant by that was you're already standing on top of the wave. You don't have to effort to get on top of the wave. That's the soul trying to make up for something. But the spirit, the reality is you're already there in Him. We live and move and have our being. We're already one with Him. So that meaning you're already on the wave. So if we start from that point instead of trying to get to that point, that's the key. If you believe in your mind, here's an example. I'm just seeing a picture right now of Jesus asleep in the boat. Okay? He knows he's already there. He's already saw the other side. He already saw them safely on the other side ahead of time. He already knows because he's the creator of it all. But he also has postured himself in the Godhead. He is the Godhead. And so he comes from that point of view. So he's always trying to get the disciples to say, oh, you have little faith, you know, be not afraid, let not your heart be troubled. What he's saying there is, hey, remember who you are. Remember where you came from. Remember. And when that happens, that's when we see or we're awakened or we're aware enough to see, wow, you know what, you're right. And then immediately things begin to take place and be drawn towards you. The experiences are drawn towards your life instead of repelled away. So what does a child do? We were talking about this, Amy and I were talking about this. What does a child do when they play in their room with their toys? They're already there in that scene, whether it's playing doctor, playing nurse, playing cook, on the battlefield with their little toy soldiers, when they're playing with their trucks, when they're playing with their little dolls and makeup. They're already there in that place of innocence, forming this other world inside of time and space, inside of this world that we live in this linear earth plane world, right? So they're in there playing, but they take themselves and their imagination to form something that they want to be in that moment. And you hear this all the time with single, raised as a single child,
mm-hmm.
right? They go into all these amazing worlds. They entertain themselves and then they form this beautiful existence inside whatever atmosphere they've been raised in, right? So the whole point is this. What are we forming in the waiting? If you find yourself waiting in between jobs, or you find yourself, you know, waiting on a creative idea, or you think that you have to wait, you know, you've been conditioned to wait. Well, I just got to wait because no doors are opening and nothing is happening. Well, what are you forming energetically in the wait? Yeah. We can form frustration. We can form depression. We can form impatience. We can form all of these things that we emit out of our soul that don't align with what is always constant and true in our spirit.
Right. And that's kind of what we were touching on yesterday, is with body language and, you know, what you're actually admitting. Isn't that emitting?
Yeah. Admit emitting.
Yeah. Where you can say one thing, but the energy coming out of you, or the belief coming out of you, is saying a completely different thing. And so, you know, and that's a lot of times because God reads your heart, right? And so do people. But that is where it comes down. See, we kind of convince ourselves, you know, well, I'm doing all the right things. I'm saying all the right things. But there's just this anxiety and angst you can't let go of inside. And that's what, and sometimes when there is this weight, God is after that. And he's wanting to upgrade you in that area. And then the thing that you're wanting in the natural will show up. And we all know the fastest way to that is surrender, yeah. Because you take off the resistance and you let go of these beliefs that keep just vibrating, these anxious beliefs keep vibrating inside of you. And so,
But when you surrender mixed with frustration, that's a split energy. That's the key right there.
Mm-hmm.
Split energy makes it double-mindedness.
Yep, double-mindedness. And so, you know, we're really, in our own walk, we're just so seeing and just learning how powerful we are, again, to create our realities and create our experiences. And what we focus on, we receive. And they're proving this all the time in science. Like, I can read you a couple things here from Joe Dispenza. You know, he's studied out the science of the brain and belief and all that kind of stuff. That's really good, that ties into this. He said, all you need is an image and an emotion, thought or feeling, a stimulant and a response, and you've conditioned your body into the past. And a lot of times when we move into something new, we hit this terror barrier. and it bounces us back into all the past things we experienced, because your body's naturally going in to protect you, but you have to be above your body. You have to be above the mind. You know, you've got to really rule from your spirit, and I know you know that. And so it's just us, instead of wanting outside things to change us, we're actually choosing the thoughts we're going to, you know, feel, choosing to soothe ourselves, actually, sometimes, because a lot of us, we know what to do, we know what to believe, but our emotions are just running rampant because there's a chemical wash going on inside because of what we're, you know, thinking about. Because right here, so here's another thing from Joe Dispenza, said thoughts send a signal out. And here's what we're saying, right? It's not just your words, it's what you're thinking about. That's what's sending the signal out.
To create resistance, mm-hmm. or to let it in through receiving mode.
Yes.
There's two ways to look at this.
It says, how you feel is the magnet receiver of it. And if your receiver isn't feeling good or worthy, then that desire will stay away from you. This is what's called resistance. This is what we've been trying to explain, you know, like in John's book and just in resistance in general. So I'm going to read that again. Thoughts send out a signal, and how you feel is the magnetic receiver of it. If your receiver isn't feeling good or worthy, then that desire will stay away from you. It's called resistance.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, and so if you think about it in this term, there's only attraction, never assertion. So this is just the perfect statement for efforting. There's only attraction, never assertion.
So good.
Because thoughts create things, you know. As a man thinketh, so is he. And so we're attracting stuff, and we don't realize it. You know, because if we're feeling rejected inside because nothing's happening, then we're getting more of that. We're getting more of it because that's where your attention is. But if we can put it on who God says we are and what he's told us, say if you're in a move or a change, what has he told you about that move or change? Start focusing on that and then sit in that and let him start expanding and showing you more of it.
Yeah, because those are feel-good thoughts. Mm-hmm. If you start thinking, and Amy and I know this to be true, trust us on this, about moving, okay? We have to, whenever we move, because we've had to move a lot because of our work, mm-hmm. You know, and being a contractor and things like that, the mindset is you can get thrilled about the next move, but then very suddenly crash and have that split energy, that double-mindedness, when we start thinking, oh my goodness, I gotta pack up all these things. I gotta mm-hmm. pack up all these boxes. And then usually it's because Amy's such a good packer. She's a great organizer. She has that part. And then I'm the muscle, you know, moving a lot of the stuff. And then I've got to handle a lot of the leadership things with work.
Yeah.
And so we kind of have our little things that we do, and then we combine them. But always working on that for sure. But Not working, but you know what I mean. See, we've got to get this out of our language. Working, work, work, work.
Listen to the intention.
Work.
Just listen anyway, to the intention.
So you get what we're saying. We can have that split energy and feel so really bewildered is a good word, or frustrated, because, you know, we're thinking one minute, we're taking ourselves out of the excitement of what's next by coming down and lowering our vibration or frequency to a lower level by sitting there going, oh my gosh, another move, you know, oh, I can't stand moving. And the moment we say or feel that, it causes resistance to happen and puts up a right. shield instead of allowing things to flow smoothly and favor and all these things magnetically drawn to us.
Yeah.
Then we're pushing those things away and keeping them at bay. Remember in the book, or I gave the example of the invisible shield around, like the little snow globe. Well, that shield stays up and keeps the good stuff out while the good stuff's knocking on the shield, so to speak. Hey, we want in, we want in. Mm-hmm. We're here to bless you. We're here to help you. We're here to give you energy, not take it away from you.
But you're listening to a different station.
You're listening to a different radio world. Station. Yeah, a different station.
Broadcasting to you the past story. And so we have to choose, like, you know, John and I have to do this every day. It's just, you know, yep. I'm not the me I was yesterday.
Yep.
Today is a new day, so I have the power to choose what I create with my thoughts. I have the power to choose, do I reactivate a thought from yesterday? Do I reactivate a past story? Or do I create a new story today? Do I step into the new me today that God intended for me to be today? And it's just, I know, it's just practice, and it's being mindful, because a lot of us just weren't even taught really to be mindful of our thoughts, maybe mindful of our actions and behaviors, but not mindful of our thoughts that they actually create, either way, good or bad. And
that's why the mercies, remember when we talked about mercies? Mercies are new every morning for a reason. The dew on the grass is new every morning for a reason. The manna that fell for the children of Israel was new every morning. Why? Because he wants to remind us this is a brand new day to create. This isn't yesterday. Yesterday's gone.
Yep.
And so we're in a brand new, it's a blank canvas today.
Mm-hmm.
Of our thoughts, and what are our thoughts going to put on that canvas for the day?
Right.
If you look at it, and whatever analogy you can use, it's unique to you. Do it, because we're all unique and wonderfully made. But I just like to liken it to artwork, because I say this on the contracting, work that we do. I say this to the crew. I say this to the staff. It's like, hey. Just remember, I say this to the department heads. I say, remember, it's artwork today. And they go, what? They first started saying, what? What does that mean? I said, your managing is art on canvas. Hmm. It's not static. It's not rigid.
Yeah.
Remember that. And so now all I have to say, artwork. And they go, oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I remember. It's art. It's art. You're painting. What do you want to paint today? You want to paint something in your mind that's ugly? And resistant, or do you want to paint something that looks beautiful and it's not finished? You have to start somewhere.
Yeah.
But towards the end of the day, you're finishing up with that paint on canvas, right? And you're looking at the final product. And then tomorrow, remember, tomorrow is a brand new canvas with brand new paint.
Right. And you know, guys, and we all know this too, it's almost an addiction a lot of times is the thoughts of the past that we bring into the next day. It's an addiction. Just like we got to have our cup of coffee or you got to have some other substance. It's an addiction to numb because it actually releases a chemical stimulant in your body that gives you a rush when you're in anxiety or panic or you reliving trauma or drama. It triggers a chemical that helps give you a shot that makes you feel alive. At least I'm alive. I feel a pulse. I feel a adrenaline rush. And we don't even realize that's why we're doing it. Because if you're just feeling so numb in life and lost, then you're going to go and drink that little mixed drink there of your past to give you a shot of at least I feel alive somehow. I've got an adrenaline shot. But it's no different with any other addiction. It's like you have to starve that thing off and not give it place in your life anymore to activate it. Because here's the scientific evidence right here. It says, every thought produces a chemical. If they have unhappy thoughts, they feel unhappy. This is Joe Dispenza again. If you have a judgmental thought, it produces chemicals that make you feel polarized. The stronger the emotions we feel from the problems and conditions in our life, the more altered we feel inside of us, the more we pay attention to the outside of what's coming in. The brain will narrow on it like a lens on a camera and take a snapshot, creating a long-term memory. And what do? We keep watching those movies and images and snapshots of the past wrongs, the past hurts, past stories of when it didn't work out, and here we are trying something again new, and I hope it doesn't match the picture of the past, you know, in relationships, in jobs, in moves, different things like that. It says after that, every time they think on the event, it produces the same chemistry as though it has happened on the spot in real time. The body doesn't know the difference between the event and your thought. So it believes it. The same real event happening again and again.
And this is so true.
That's the power God gave us to create. He said, I have given you the power to create wealth, you know, blessings or cursings. It's we have this power force in us. So it's just comes down to being mindful of what we're attracting, you know, and what we're activating.
And yeah, so that practically speaking, this is so good. That just explained it all on how we should frame up our day, mm-hmm. right? We get up in the morning. What are we doing in the moment our eyes open? Are we going right into the past emotions right. and thoughts the of wrongs. Yesterday, the wrongs? Did I do it right? Did I do it wrong? I said this. I shouldn't have said that to this person.
So resistance, and boom, first thing in the morning.
Yeah, and so we have this resistance. It starts, it casts out this shield and goes, whew, and there's the energy that we can either stay in or change when we go to the bathroom. Yeah. You know, why is there elimination in the morning? It's a sign outwardly of the waste elimination to remind us, don't stay in the waste, eliminate it from yesterday.
Yes.
And so God gives us signs all the time for detoxing, elimination, staying in the current, present, clear
yeah.
innocence of the clarity that's already resonant within you. It's just the soul that gets dirtied up and mucked up because of the thought life.
Right.
And if we can clean our thought life up, and remember, guys, we're not just talking about, well, you know, the don't smoke, don't drink, don't think about sexual things kind of stuff that the church teaches all the time. What we're talking about here is keeping the muddy waters out of our thought life of what would be my, what is the wildest thoughts I can think about what kind of life I would love to have? And then triple that by quadrillion, a trillion times is what God really has for us. So it's this world of thinking God's best is always for me, not just thinking of the bad little things that I do in my behaviors, although that's part of it. It's cleaning up the whole mindset of who am I to God and who am I to this planet? What have I been actually sent here to be and do?
Right. And to not follow that up with, but how? And I right. feel stuck and it didn't happen for me last time. Why is it going to happen for me this time? And so then we just hit the loop. We go, it's like the camera looping, 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 till we push stop on that. I will not listen to this anymore, right? The power of your will. I will not. But I will focus and start framing up in my mind where I'm going and who God says I am, what He's told me I'm called to, and just line up with it. Line up with it in your emotions. But here's the key. One of the big keys that will help, because if you're feeling tired and cranky and you try to do it, it won't work because right. you've got too much momentum going of negativity. Because when you're tired, you don't have the energy. It's easy to just to kind of slide backwards. Yeah. And so that's why, you know, getting a hold of things first thing in the morning, because you've had all night to rest. So it's a reset, but also taking power naps. Think of that term. You know, it's going to give you a recharge and a repower up to stand back up into the positive of who you are.
Yeah, whatever makes you feel a reset and a rest, it's like a charging station. And that could very well be a nap a lot of times, because that recharges your energy yeah. station.
It stops the momentum of the brain.
Listening to music, that's a recharger.
Right.
You know, watching something victorious, something funny,
mm-hmm.
All of those things help. And speaking of watching something, here's how I gauge what my spirit's really telling me all the time. It's really saying and what it's really emitting to me all the time. And we're all different. But whenever I watch a show where, or I hear a story about somebody winning it makes me want to just bawl my head off in a good way.
Yeah,
I'm triumphing. Cheering.
They've overcome something.
Yeah, or like when somebody wins on The Voice, or somebody wins on some kind of a healthy competitive thing. Somebody sings this smash hit that's just makes your heart melt. You know, whenever there's victory or somebody winning in a good way, man, I just lose it. And that's my spirit saying, I've always created you to win. I've created you to always win. In other words, you're a winner. That's where I want you to posture yourself to be. And the issue is breaking through that barrier in our soul that's been so conditioned to believe otherwise. Right. And this is what religion does a lot of. It makes us feel like a loser and a low down dirty worm. We're always a sinner. We can't overcome.
Right. Analyzing all our sins, like a checklist, and making sure we can be on good terms with God.
Yeah, and I just heard this thing, and I'm not going to say the name, doesn't do any good, but I heard this preacher, more law driven, saying, you know, here's your wonderful life. Here, God has a wonderful plan for you. Yeah, Paul got martyred and hung upside down, and starts going through all this stuff about how the disciples got beheaded and killed and all this stuff.
Yeah.
There's your wonderful plan that God has for you. Yeah, right.
He was goes, that never God's say that. Plan or was yeah, that goes, man never doing say that to man?
He said, never say that to somebody. I'm thinking, what?
Jeez.
You know, think about it. That was, like Amy said, that's man torturing man. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that that's God's plan for your life. If that was the case, then he would have never said something like, I have given you life and that more abundantly.
Yes.
There's many scriptures we can quote here. But the point being, it's finished so that we can live an awesome, wonderful life. What is our belief system in that? Because remember, we emit energy, and there's a thing called law of attraction. So you're going to attract to you what you feel and what you think.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the way it is. We draw magnetically how we think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's there to, as a learning curve, it's there to help us see how powerful we are.
The contrast.
And that we have a choice to choose. Do you want more of this, or are you willing to change it and have more of what you really desire? That the power is in your hand. And God's grace, of course, is there to, you know, comfort you and come around you and reveal things to you to help you. This is all part of your growth process. So it's not a bad thing. It's just, again, us really rising up into that we are powerful to create the experience of how we're going to feel, of how we're going to experience life, you know. And so when it comes to the waiting, you know, what do you do in the waiting? And when you can't hear clearly because you're just so anxious and fearful, and you feel there's this wave, this chemical wave of the past just trying to take you down while you're trying to get up onto the new wave, mm-hmm. What do you do? And again, 101 is go take a nap. If you can't fall asleep and your mind is still going, then get back up and just go do something completely off the subject. Because again, remember, there's only attraction, no assertion. And if we keep trying to figure something out, then you just build that snowball bigger and bigger. Because what you're emanating is, I don't have this yet. And so it keeps pushing the delay out further and further. But
when you let it go, what happens?
And just start shifting it. It's on its way. Everything is always working out for me. It's on its way. Now you just switch streams to where you're in the stream that it's on its way, instead of why isn't this happening?
Yeah, and it's like one person said, the more you don't need something, the more it's handed to you. And this, we're talking, a millionaire quoted this, the more you don't need something, the more it's handed to you. So in other words, what Amy's saying is, I don't have it yet. That's saying I have a need for the want.
Mm-hmm.
And when we lose the need for the want, and you know, you can never lose the desire, like one person said. You always have this dream, the desire, and you shouldn't lose it. The point is the need for it.
Surrendering the need effort. For it. The effort of trying to make it happen. Yeah, that
produces effort. Need produces effort. Because if I need this, I'm going to figure out a way to get it. That's what we have to surrender.
Right.
When we surrender that, then God's saying, okay, you can't figure out how I'm going to bring this to you.
Right.
You think you can. But I'm trying to show you a higher way here of effortless flow. When my effortless ability gets involved, by you letting go of the reins, letting go of the wheel so that I can take it, then I can bring it in a way that will shock you. I will bring it in a way that you could never figure out with your intellect. So that why? So that you can tell people how good I am. So you can show people how good I am. And you can
experience how good he is.
That's right.
Because he's building confidence in you that, hey, I know it's not going to come in my own effort of me trying to figure it out because I can't see all the pieces, but he can. So I'm just going to keep holding his hand, walking forward, and just taking the next step. So the question to you would be, okay, so don't, you know, you're wondering how this whole big picture is going to happen, but dial it down again to simplicity of what is the next step he's told you to take today? What can you do today instead of getting overwhelmed by the whole big picture of how is this going to happen? There's always something you can do today that that moves you towards it. And what, again, from the message yesterday, what do you have a green light for? You know, what has God given you permission to do? Just dial it back. What was the last thing he told you to do? And go back to that. So, again, it's simple, I know. And a lot of times, the Lord's just wanting us just to learn how to do life with him on a day-to-day basis. But I know it's hard when you have those pressures and the unknown. We all know the unknown is just, oh, man, that is such a trigger to get us to effort because we are reaching for security and reaching for stability because we are in that unknown state. But it's where we get new sea legs, you know, and we're practicing putting our feet in him and listening. So these are just some little tips and helpful things to help you guys, you know, in this area. And believe us, we can relate. We're learning right along.
Yeah, so somebody else said, you are what you practice. And then another person said, so whatever you want, give thanks for it and you'll have it. If you keep asking for it, you're saying you don't have it. And so I wanted to touch on that. That's the part I wanted to touch on, is that oftentimes what we're taught in especially in the church world is ask and keep on asking, knock and keep on knocking. Many times, because of our conditioning, how we interpret that is, I have to beg for it until it comes. You know, remember the story about the unjust judge, how they were so bothered. They're like, fine, I'll give you what you want. You come to me day and night. Here it is, because you've annoyed me, in other words.
Right.
And then, but there's a little thing after that that says, we've said this before, but it says, when he returns, will he really find faith? On the earth, will he really find faith? And so what Jesus was always addressing is, I want you to go inside and access what is always filled with faith, what is always believing, and that's your spirit. And so this is why, you know, they've proven this, that actually we are inside of our spirit. That's how it began.
We
are living inside of our spirit is on the outside of us.
Yeah, that's how we began.
That's how we
before
began.
Before the fall.
But now it's inverted, right? It's the opposite. But we still emit a sphere of influence around us energetically, magnetically, that's about 9 feet out or more.
Mm-hmm.
And it pulsates depending on what we believe. And this is why people say, hey, don't get in my bubble, or you're standing in my sphere, man, or, you know, you're in my, you
you're
know, space.
Up against me, yeah.
Yeah, you're in my space. Give me some space. Why do we say that? Why do we say, give me some space? We say that energetically when we're not feeling up to par, we're feeling a little depressed, or we don't want to be bothered. We say, hey, you're invading my space, man. What we say that is because we can feel energetically something that we're emitting, but also the energy of somebody trying to help us when we don't want it or whatever it may be.
Right.
And so it's super important. This ask and keep on asking thing really shows something. It reveals where we're at in our belief.
And your upbringing, because sometimes you had a parent that wouldn't give you something unless you just kept whining and asking and asking and asking, and then they finally gave in. And you know, a lot of times we approach God that way. And mm-hmm. because we think if we asked the first time, nothing happened. We took score too soon because it's incubating, it's on its way, but we keep asking, thinking the more we ask, you know, it's going to happen. Yeah. John and I always love, you know, the good old quote of Smith Wigglesworth said, you know, ask once, you know, somebody asked, you know, seven times, and he goes,
six times you're asking in unbelief if mm-hmm. you've asked for it seven times.
Yeah.
It's the first time. But when you pray, believe and you shall receive.
And thank him for it.
That is literal. It's an innocence that we posture ourselves in when we say that.
Mm-hmm.
When we pray, we believe and we shall receive. It's not a formula. It's just an innocence
right.
when we believe, and a faith that says, I'm receiving.
Right. Remember what the angels told Daniel. Said, the moment you asked,
yeah.
we heard you and we were sent. The moment you asked. But remember, it took like 21 days for them to make it down and bring the answer. And so, but with God, he's such a master orchestrator. It always is in perfect timing. So
any time you look in scripture, when somebody actually let go of something, it happened. Joseph let go of his desire to get out of the prison.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, it happens. Mm-hmm. When they started worshiping in the prison cells, the disciples, boom, the earthquake happens.
Mm-hmm.
They're released. You can go on and on and on. When you shift the focus.
Into receive mode. This is huge.
And how can you do that? Like we said, go take a nap, go play golf, go, you know, whatever it is that you do. That causes you to relax. Like, Amy, it's so funny.
Opens your heart up.
Yeah, it's so funny. Amy and I both, but especially Amy, whenever she wants to really relax, she'll go in and watch videos on Hawaii or go in and watch. That's our place. That's our secret place, right? And she'll go and watch videos and she'll know, so, okay, now I'm relaxed.
Listen to the birds in Hawaii.
Yeah. And we do that. If you're in a tight spot or if you're feeling really frustrated,
wound up,
stressed out, it's so important that you go to an escape place. Go to a vacation in your mind.
Yeah, you got to break out of the energy you're in, out of the tension, yeah. and get into a different one, whether it's through music, listening to birds, watching something funny. It's going to pull you out of that certain vibration. You're switching the channel. You're switching the news station you're listening to, you know, it's like switching channels on the TV. You're either going to listen to devastating news or you're going to switch to the comedy channel or, you know, funniest animals, funniest home videos, you know, it changes your state.
It's super important because we've had friends in the past that all they want to do, especially the prophetic circles, if they're conditioned to think this way, what they're going to do is come to you with their bad news. Oh, did you hear this prophecy? Did you hear the news on this?
I can't believe this. Can you believe this?
Can you believe this is happening? We've gotten caught up in it ourselves, and we've had to really turn away from a lot of that. Even watching the news, it's so, especially negative. If you're a feeler, it's going to, you're going to be tormented.
Yeah.
And there's just no way around it. It's important to turn that stuff off.
And again, it's really waking up out of, why am I drawn to negativity? Am I getting a chemical hit again?
Yes.
I'm addicted to this feeling of drama and trauma. And if I don't have it around me, I don't feel alive. Or you've found identity in it, and where people give you attention. If you have some kind of drama or trauma, it becomes your conversation piece. What the problem is you keep attracting more drama, and judgments. And so, again, yeah,
that's for sure.
It comes down to our free will of choosing what we let in and what we keep out and what we are filling up our time with and attracting to us. So we're powerful to choose. So what is the outcome? What do you want to experience, right? So you have a life path, again, you know, with the Lord.
Yeah,
comes down to what you want, how you want to experience that.
Yes, and how what you feel, how you feel really matters. Yep. Pay attention to how you feel throughout your day. That's your gauge.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that thoughts. A lot of people tell you not to connect with your feelings
or
and
your
all
desires,
that. But God has given us our emotions. He's given us our feelings for a reason. They're a gauge. They're a meter. They're a compass.
Yeah. Just like, what do they say when you're feeling a fear or this turmoil inside? A lot of times it's a call to action. Your body's letting you know you need to make a change. It's a call to action. And which is, you know, good. As long as it's not a fearful, you know, dangerous kind of thing you're doing. But usually if we're staying in something too long and we know it. And your body keeps letting you know it's time to make a change. So who's holding you there, you or your body?
That's right. Okay, guys, hope that helps some more. And, of course, we're going to be talking about a lot of this as we go on because it's so huge of, you know, where we're headed in this brand new world that we're going into, this beautiful unfolding of the kingdom spreading, and it's a non-religious kingdom, thank the Lord. And when this is unfolding, this awakening is happening all over the planet right now, this is the kind of stuff people are waking up to.
Yeah.
And when we're awakening, this is what we anchor.
Mm-hmm.
We anchor the light in this area in our individual worlds, and then we move throughout our day painting that beautiful canvas. Here's something else that came up real quick before we in the this particular message. I feel like somebody is doing something out of obligation, and we all do, right? Sometimes, and we have to catch ourselves. But this has to do with family, and you have positioned yourself out of obligation to be with family. And if you really sit in this and you do what we just mentioned, where you put your canvas out in front of you and you start painting that canvas in the morning, what does that look like in light of how you've positioned yourself? Because are you being true to the artistry that you really are, or are you trying to paint somebody else's art on their canvas? God's going to help you unwind that, but you did this out of obligation, and he's going to help unravel that so that you can come back to your own canvas and your own paints. See, so often people do things out of obligation because of the fear of man, because they think it's the right thing to do, because that's how they've been conditioned in life. And I heard an interesting thing. Amy and I both did. We were watching a Will Smith documentary, and it just helped me in my own situation with things in my family. He said that he had a son with another wife, his first wife, and his first son, his name's Trey. And he said that he had to really let go of him for the first 13 years of his life because he tried to be the dad. He tried to go in there, but it just was not working. And so for him, he said, you know, I've got to take my hands off of this. And it was for like 13 years. But then he was, when it was time, there was full speed ahead. Like he was there. He flew from Dubai when he was filming The Karate Kid with his younger son, Jaden.
Yeah.
And
yeah, China,
he flew,
actually.
China. He flew every weekend home to go to Trey's football games when he was a teenager. Every weekend flew across the world to be at his football game. So if you're doing things out of obligation because you think it's the right thing to do, and of course you would think in your mind, right, I have to parent. But some people are put in such impossible situations that they try to force things to happen and they wonder why it's not working.
Right. And the other person's got a free will too. And
they
so
do.
It's like trying to convince somebody to love you and then they're not ready to love you yet. It's just, it doesn't work.
Exactly. You know? So I feel like that's really for somebody or several people listening. To stop efforting through obligation. And God's going to help you come back to your own canvas, so to speak.
Yeah.
So
see it as already done. See it as the relationship is already being healed. It's healed because things are done in eternal time. We're just walking it out right now in time and space. And so when it's finished, it's finished. But so I just want to encourage to you guys just to recap, again, thoughts send out a signal, and how you feel is how you track to you. So feel as though it's already done. The Lord said, when you pray, believe that you have received it and it shall be so. And so then again, there you go. And then the magnetic field will draw it in. And you got to feel it first, though. Feel it as though it's already happened. And that's so good in the morning. Feel your future as though it's already happened. Yeah,
frame up your day that mm-hmm. way.
Yeah.
And then what will happen is take note, too. And we've done this, and we're going back to this. We're in kind of a transition again, so it's hard to be consistent with this. But take literal notes of how things have shifted that day at the end of the day. Like what you do is when you're painting that canvas, you look at that canvas at the end of the day and say, okay, I'm assessing what I just painted throughout the day. Okay. And then, all right, great. This is where I'm at. These are the beautiful things that happened on canvas. This is what my thought life was like during this time. And then see what magnetically happens.
Yeah.
In that day, even if it's the smallest things, smallest victories are a big deal.
That's right.
They are. They're a big deal because now you're like more awakened and more aware to frame up tomorrow.
Yeah, it's just doing the next thing in front of you. It's just like Will Smith's dad said, just lay the one brick today. And before you know it, the whole wall's built, So yeah. It's just what's the thing God's asking you to lay down today or pick up today, or it's so, because I can see a lot of people, this is all great, but what do I do? And
this is what you do.
And guys, you can either do it on the efforting planes at ground level, or you can come away and meditate
and energetically do it a lot quicker
and come up higher. And you know what happens when things go up into space? They float. There's no more gravity holding it down.
No more effort.
And so it's the real you, the cork rises to the surface. When you go into meditation, all the other stuff falls off. It's like the sandbags falling off the air balloon. They just start breaking off and you come up and you can see a whole lot clearer. Your inner being rises. It's not being suppressed by your body and mind dictating your path anymore. So that's why in meditation, soaking, getting away with the Lord, listen to some worship, listen to some beautiful soaking instrumental music, or a really
whatever
good,
it is, yeah,
whatever it is, just to get your mind off of things and enter into your spirit, and the path will reveal itself to you. You won't have to guess. You don't have to guess at this thing or try to figure it out. It's something that gets revealed to you. That's when it becomes effortless. And then you walk that out. That's so remember, right. It's not efforting. It's inspiration. You're inspired. You go into spirit, which inspires you because you now can see your path of what you're supposed to walk on.
There you go. That's it right yep. there.
And then follow the leads and prompts.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you so
love
much
you.
For listening again. And we know there's some nuggets in there that'll help you. And keep tuning in. Share this podcast with others if you feel led to.
Yeah, if you feel it'll help them.
If you feel it'll help them at all. We really appreciate the encouragement, too. We've
yes,
been getting some
your
great
responses.
Feedback.
It's great.
Thank you so much. We're going to be making a transition here soon, so you'll see us in different places geographically, but you'll start seeing us in Florida and maybe some videos there. But we're just journeying through life. We still carry Hawaii in our hearts. And I'm saying that because several of you have different places geographically that you love. Why not? Here's our question. Why not? If God is leading mm-hmm. and you're following those prompts, then who's to say otherwise?
That's right.
If you have two or three places in your heart across the world, why not have two or three houses?
Yeah, and sometimes it's just for a season, and then God moves you on to the next. Right. And then other times he'll move you to one place and then wrap you right back around to the place that you know is home. So it's just, again, it's not limiting yourself and being narrow-minded. It's just entering the dance and enjoying the adventure.
All right. We love you.
Talk soon.
Bye-bye.